Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. We hope you're prepared for the end of the year, because it doesn't look like we are going to end this year in any better condition than I think most people didn't think this year would go so bad. Most people didn't really understand what is going on regarding this Bolshevik revolution. It is a very slow, methodical process, and they have so many irons in the fire. And what I mean by that is that they have so many tentacles in every facet of our life that it's not just the price of gas has gone up. It's affected the cost of foods. It's affected the cost of goods, because inflation's another problem that's happened. Same thing with the deep state taking over the military in the Afghanistan. I mean, we could go through almost every little thing that's happened, and it's like, wow, when is it going to stop? And it's not going to stop. Close your eyes and just think back historically over the past years. Did it really get better under Trump? Yeah, prices got better, but did government get placed back into check? No. And as a matter of fact, as long as we just, because what's happening is two steps forward and then a reprieve. Maybe a little bit of a half step or a step back, like with Trump, maybe it was a half step back. And there was that perception was still kind of there with Bush, even though Bush was continuing the globalist agenda. He gave us the Department of Homeland Security. He gave us all sorts of tyrannical footings that the next presidents would be able to exploit and use against us. So I want to be clear here. It's not going to get better. It is going to continue to get worse until the snap. When the snap occurs, then we are all done for. Because at that point in time, if we have not positioned your state and your state legislators to take a direct stand, and by that time, hopefully before the snap, the states are getting organized, and hopefully by that time, the states are actually working together in preparing to come upon the federal government and say, you can't do this. You have no authority to do this. Where did we delegate this power to you? Folks, it's time to wake up. Folks, you hear people talking about, you know, there's, and I even see this meme that if the people haven't woken up by now, it's too late. We need to just get in, those who are woke or awakened to the fact. As I look, how many people is that? How many people out there are really awake and ready to get engaged? Now, I know I'm not the national mouthpiece for the conservative movement. Nothing like Sean Hannity, nothing like Glenn Beck, nothing like these people that are getting rich in giving you basically entertainment. They don't care about solving this problem. They're an elitist and they're making money, and they believe that they have hedged themselves. They've hedged their bets that they will be able to, you know, survive whatever happens to them. And I don't think they realize, or I don't even think they care regarding the solution, because if you look at the money that's pouring in, wow, I mean, what would you do? What would you do if you realize that there's real problems, but you're in a position where you're making lots of money because of that problem? It's the goose that's laying the golden egg. What do? Do you actually, you know, step back and go, hey, you know, I'm going to actually jeopardize my whole career here and say, I don't need this money. I don't need this anymore. What I need and what we all need is we need to intervene. We need to interpose on the federal government. Interposition is the only way. And interposition, in Madison's terms, is what we refer to as Republic Review. And so many of the things we've been going through in this list of aligning the Bill of Rights and the Constitution to the 21st century. Many of these things are actually a part of and would be accomplished in Republic Review so that people actually understand what the heck and how far the federal government has gone. Even our state governments, the states will have to, they will have to basically admit that they have failed. Or, and see, here's the interesting thing. You've got a whole new class of legislators in your state capital compared to who was in that capital 100 years ago. The interesting thing is governments are perpetual, just like, you know, companies, corporations, and so forth, and they're moved to the next leadership, and that leadership in government is we the people. And so we've got a whole new class. What is so wrong with basically saying, you know what? We have been led astray. As we have basically came into these positions, we've been told how it works and how it's supposed to work, and we now realize that that has been a lie. I mean, what's so hard for a state legislative body, the legislature of Wyoming, the legislature? You got to remember that there are rhinos in there. These people are determined to assist and ensure that the progressive agenda moves forward. I'm just absolutely amazed at how this even reaches into the darkest of red states, that there's that many rhinos, that the rhino Democrat or the progressive people in our state government are so prevalent. What the heck? Folks, you may need to actually consider running. You may need, and as a matter of fact, I would ask that you really consider looking into your county commissioner, county supervisor positions first. We need to get good people at the county level so that we have those people at the county level representing the people, and we have to actually start demanding that our counties no longer protect the party. Our county committeeman that is a part of our representation, we're supposed to be voting for that county committeeman. But the party, both parties are the ones that actually vote for the county committeeman, and they are stealing your representation. The parties have been complicit, and they've been dubious. They've been nefarious in stealing the Electoral College, and they've been culpable. They've been the culprits in actually stealing your representation at the county. This is why the county has been completely marginalized. In our form of government, the county is just basically, we don't even look to the county to save us. When in a representative form of government, that is our first step. That's where we should be going. We shouldn't be necessarily going straight to the state legislature. We should be driving our county commissioners or supervisors to a point of boil to where they go in and scald those state legislators. We have that many county. So when you actually look at it and you walk in, you look at all of the county commissioners in your state, 9 times out of 10, unless it's in New Hampshire, you're going to probably have more representation by your county commissioners than you would, or supervisors, as you would by your state legislature, because most states have more counties than they have legislative districts. Anyway. Anywho, and you got to remember that many counties have either a minimum of 3, but sometimes they have 5 or more when it comes to the commissioners and so forth. So I'm going to bet there's probably an 80% chance that if you counted how many county commissioners or supervisors are in your state, you will find out that there's actually more than you would have in your state legislature. So when you send your county commissioners to descend upon them, it's almost like, you know, hey, we outnumber you, and we're going to go fist to cuff here, and we're going to knock the crap out of you. Excuse the expression. See, crap is a four-letter word. I get it. I probably shouldn't use that. But anyway, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you are listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions of where we've come from, what we're doing now, and what it's going to take to get us back to that constitutional track that the framers had put us on and where we really belong based on the supreme law of the land, period. We hope you enjoyed the contribution I made with Rumble. As long as I can make a contribution for David Torres and his Freedom Not Tyranny channel, I'm happy to do so. Helping people understand the Constitution better is always a plus, because it takes this reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. That's what I always say, right? It's that middle part, that equally informed. And until we start getting people equally informed on the Constitution, people are not going to realize what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional. Now, Fortitude Financial Coaching, the time is coming up. You need to, if you are ready to get disciplined and you're ready to actually have, I would say, a good, hard-charging financial advisor, somebody that's going to help you. You know, and by the way, you know, if you want a coach to, you know, treat you with, you know, kid gloves and to pet you, then you don't know what a good coach is. A good coach uses tough love, and a good coach actually comes hard at you. Now, I don't know. I know Gary, but I don't know if, you know, if he's going to give you maybe both the soft and the hard, but I know he will give you the best he's got. And so with that. We want to move forward. We've got a few more personal endorsements that I want to make for you. And then we're going to dive into these issues that really are a good insight of what the Republic Review process is going to cover. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me finish some of these personal endorsements. You hear me talk about Timber Nation all the time. Timber Nation Hardwood American Custom Furniture. Check them out. They've been recognized in the Absolute Sound for their quality audio racks. I don't think you will be under-impressed when you see that, you know, in their audio racks, those shelves are 2 inches thick of solid hardwood. Now, if you've got a plan, if you'd like to have them do something, sketch it up and, you know, just send it to them and tell them how you'd want it, you know, the wood, the stain, you know, the finish, all that type of stuff, and let them give you a bid. I think you'll be blown away at, you know, you can't go to any furnishing and actually do this. I want you to understand this. Only with a Ma and Pa. And so this is why when we go into, you know, these growths of companies, when a Ma and Pa grows to a certain point, they lose their flexibility. Now, I'm telling you, these are hardworking, industrious, and they do great work, awesome work. You're going to be blown away with the quality of just having real hardwood furnishings. I made the huge mistake of, you know, buying crap that came from China, or actually a Chinese-controlled country, because I believe some of the furnishings we got came from Vietnam, and so shame on me. But the point is that if you need good furnishings, figure out what you're going to spend for the stuff that you'll end up, you know, your kids will end up throwing away because they won't want it, because it's probably at that point in time so worn and trashed that you can't even recover it because it's particle board. And then contrast that with the hardwood furnishings and what the cost is. Check out the cost. Check out the fact that this is going to come to you with free shipping. This is going to come to you with, you know, a little bit of instructions of how to put it together, because it's an RTA, ready to assemble type of furnishings. And you will be very impressed with, you know, how solid and how well these things are put together. I mean, these aren't little teeny screws that they use. These are real large screws that go into the hardwood and hold it tight. Anyway, I don't know if you've ever seen The Great Santini, but in The Great Santini, they did these things that we call carrier quals. And a carrier qual is where, you know, these birds, airplanes go, and they qualify landing on a very short deck. And in the Marine Corps, when you're celebrating and maybe you've had maybe a little bit too much to drink, the Marines will clear a table and they'll pour beer on the top of it so it makes it nice and slick. And each individual Marine that wants to carry a qual, they just run and jump on top of that and slide. And they have to try to stop without using their hands or feet before they slide off the end of the table. And so anyway, it's kind of wild. But the fact is that you can't do that on your standard tables today. You have to have a hardwood, well-built table. And they make tables. They make all sorts of things. So go check them out, timbernation.com. Radio dust covers. If you are looking for something that can cover and protect your valuable electronics, radiodustcovers.com. Now, none of these guys, Ad Local, I got Ad Local too. Ad Local is an ISP, and they are a Patriot-friendly company. So if you need ISP support, internet services provider or infrastructure service provider, whatever you want to call the ISP, it's an ITIL basically design or ITIL structure of, you know, our ASP, ISP types of providers out there, application and infrastructure. But bottom line, if you're looking for somebody that can actually help you with your emails and that type of thing, check them out. Okay? Anywho, we've got a comment line, 425-270-5416. Now, we left off basically pounding on the desk saying that we have to have these state legislatures clearly help define what is a bill of attainder and a punishment, and what is the defining, you know, facts about an ex post facto law. We need to start recognizing what these types of laws are, so that every time the federal government with these, you know, like a mandate to punish you for not getting your shot, that is a bill of attainder and a punishment. And so they do not have the authority to create those types of laws. As a matter of fact, it's right there in Article 1, Section 9 and Article 1, Section 10. The federal government cannot do it in Section 9, and the state governments cannot do it in Section 10. All governments are prohibited. They are constrained from not being able to do this. And my friends, they are doing this. They're doing this by stealing your water rights and saying, oh, you can't get a well anymore. What? You can't do that. Now, that what we really need to also do, and I kind of talked about this, but I want to get into this a little bit more. But what we really need to do is we need to actually start defining treason. Why do we need to define treason? Because we're going to start charging our politicians who are actually supporting things that are violations of the Constitution. In other words, they're engaged in taking an axe in trying to attack and destroy our constitutional government. Whether that be from not stopping this invasion on our southern border, whether that be from, you know, implementing more socialism, they can't do that. They don't have the enumerated powers to hand us or to basically take from one and give to another, the redistribution of wealth. They can't do that. Those powers have never been delegated to the federal government. So we're going to have very clear and concise definitions of treason. And I'm going to tell you, if we look at the Whiskey Rebellion, that set the tone on what treason and how treason should be defined. Here were people that protested a constitutional law. And so what happened was they were charged with treason. They could have hanged at the end of a rope. Now, they didn't. But back in those days, you know, this was kind of new. And they said, well, you know, we understand that people don't understand with this new form of government that we have. But we cannot allow our public servants to be able to protest and actually refuse to comply to the Constitution and do what they think is best. Sorry. That violates their oath. It violates everything about a Republican form of government. Anyway, the next big issue that we have that has to be taken care of is where in the Constitution have the states delegated to the general government the power to reduce the sovereignty in any way of new states coming into the Union. This was referred to as the Equal Footing Clause. More importantly, and I think you've heard me talk about this quite a bit, and so more importantly, this violates the Uniformity Clause. The federal government has to treat each state equally. It cannot, and when you actually bring a state, and when we look at the western states, whether it be Wyoming, Washington, it doesn't matter, California, if you go look at a map that identifies federal control over the state lands, you'll find that all of the western states, I mean, Nevada is probably the worst case because I think 90% of Nevada's land is federally controlled. How can that be? Well, and who cares about a desert? Fact is that the federal government's ability to own, possess, and control land is dictated and enumerated in the U.S. Constitution. Remember, we have an enumerated constitution, not a general constitution. There was nowhere in the Constitution where there were general powers granted to the federal government to basically assume control over any kind of land that they want and make it a territory or what have you. A state is sovereign, and a state has full sovereignty and control over its borders, all the land within it. Yes, that means the Indian reservations, that means the environmental protective reservations, the forests, all of these lands that the federal government has claimed is all unconstitutional. They do not have the constitutional authority or power to do that. Their treaties have no standing because the treaties must be in pursuance to the U.S. Constitution. So in other words, what really has to happen is that the states need to start amending their constitutions to establish a farm and agricultural land as strategic resources of the state. Well, why am I even, this sounds like I just took a left turn and I'm out in left field now. We also have to identify the fact that the state land and resources are a part of their strategic planning for both revenue purposes as well as for, you know, security and so forth. And when we find people like Bill Gates, the BLM, and other entities coming along and buying up our foreign investors, by the way, there is nowhere There is nowhere in the Constitution that gave the federal government the ability to allow foreign investors, foreign corporations or individuals to buy and own and possess any U.S. land. They don't have that power, but they've allowed that and they've made that happen. Now, we as people can actually stand up and say that violates us, because basically what that means is America is up for sale, and I'm here to tell you America is not up for sale. And so when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about understanding not just the equal footing, but the importance of property rights, just like we were talking about with the BLM and Gates buying that up. So we'll be right back regarding, you know, what these guys are doing regarding farmlands and so forth.
Folks, I'm constantly providing with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when you start understanding the land and the importance of the land, that the states, you know, because states can easily be starved if you take away the resources that the land provides. Forests, agricultural crops, minerals, mining, there's just an abundance of different things that when you take away those resources, then all of a sudden the states really are struggling. This is one of the reasons why the states have income tax and a lot of other tax mechanisms, other than the fact that they also have implemented many of the unconstitutional social programs and social engineering that the federal government has mandated unconstitutionally. And so what is a state to do? A state actually has to draw the line in the sand and say, look, we're sovereign over this land. Now, one of the things the states need to do, because the fundamental tenets of government is to protect property and to protect life, not necessarily in that order. So they shouldn't be so hostile and so aggressive over the inhabitants, over the residents, over the citizens of their state, to where people lose their land because of the state, you know, taxation and the hostility that the state can become in taxing. So there has to be a law that basically protects people from being able to lose their house due to taxes. Taxes must be forgiven completely, if a person is in a situation, let's say it's a family home, it's been in the home for three generations, and the taxes on that home are so high because it just go up, 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 and the person living there maybe become either destitute, they may become, you know, handicapped, or they've just become elderly and not able to pay those taxes. Those taxes must be removed. There has to be some level and a quick way of being able to protect. And as a matter of fact, there has to be a way that people can actually come in so that the state can do the due diligence and analysis. And states actually need to work with the layman, or I should say, the way leader of your political faith, or not political faith, I'm sorry, your religious faith, so that the state can come in and, let's say you're Catholic and you have a priest or a father, and they say, Padre, you know, what's the deal with this person? And so this way you have somebody else that is actually testifying to say they're paupers. I mean, they can't afford to even feed themselves, and you're taxing them into oblivion. They're losing their home and they're losing everything. That should never happen. That cannot happen because of state government. Most people that are living in the state, I mean, we'd hate to see that big of a downturn, but if there is that big of a downturn, what do you do? If all of a sudden people can't even afford their government, we've got a problem. And so we really have to start putting this kind of a perspective in, because government cannot be paramount. Government is there to serve the people, not to destroy the people. So we have to start looking at, like I said, in protecting these lands for minerals, I should say, being able to ensure that those resources are available to the states and to companies that the states, you know, have doing business in there, and, you know, harvesting the minerals and so forth. You know, I've always thought that when you look at some of the national forests, this waste of land and the way they manage it, I would love to see states actually converting, you know, in some of these parks. So let's say the Mount Rainier Park, which I believe is a federal, maybe it's a state park, there may be both, but nevertheless, let's say all that land goes to the state, and the state says, okay, this is all state property. What I would love to see, because there's some really beautiful places that you could probably set up these resorts where Hilton, Marriott, they can let commercial entities go in and help provide for one access and basically create some guidelines to say, you know, you can't just, you know, slap up some, you know, ugly things, but you can make it so that it becomes so attractive for people to just go stay. I mean, that's what they did with the Yellowstone Park a long, long time ago. If you look at some of those ancient cabins and structures and so forth that they built, so that when people came, they could actually stay there. Those who wanted to stay in, you know, the quarters, or those who wanted to go camping or what have you. But you give them a little bit of land. But instead of letting Hilton own that land, you let them lease it. And so if Hilton, you know, let's just say you also can make a regulation or a law that says, you know, after 30 years, this land has to go to somebody else, unless there's nobody else that's capable of, you know, doing the work or doing that, if that makes sense. This way we can actually start seeing the use of the land, one, kind of being protected, allowing certain industries to go in. And we also cannot look at the forest and leave them unmanaged. It doesn't matter if it goes all the way up to the snow cap. We actually have to manage that because if you haven't noticed how many forest fires that we've had, it is an annual problem. It wasn't an annual problem way back in the 60s, in the 70s, when the states were actually managing all that land. It was when the federal government put their foot down and said, we have to preserve all of this land because what you're doing is terrible. Are you kidding me? It's good business for Weyerhaeuser or whoever the lumber companies are that come in with a lease or what have you to harvest, because what they do is they replant trees. They replant the types of trees that are, one, indigenous, as well as, you know, replenishing the forest of what it's supposed to have. They were great stewards. There was a great relationship between Weyerhaeuser or states and those types of companies. And so we have to actually, you know, start looking and giving the states the power. The states, this is their power. We have to restore this power back to them. Another thing is that the states need to abandon the commodity credit corporation. What the heck is the commodity credit corporation? Most people don't know. What that is that is the entity that has our strategic reserves of food, just in case we get hit with famine. Did you know that George W. Bush emptied out our strategic reserves of rice, corn, and everything else because he was trying to suppress the fact that the cost of food and inflation was going up? And when the grain silage basically emptied out, when it grew dry, when it became dry and there's no more grain to put and to dump into the market, because they were dumping this into the market at a loss. And so the point is that what happened was that Arab rising, or the Arab Spring, right, where all of these countries started revolting. People go, well, why? Because they were starving. They had to make a decision. And so it was a catalyst, because if you understand, and Aristotle's the one that said, the people will revolt for two reasons. They're starving, or that they recognize the fact that those who are oppressing them are living, you know, on their hard work. And so the people will end up revolting. And so what government has to do to get us to come into this new fold is they have a very careful balance of being able to, you know, maintain the food levels so that people aren't starving, because the French Revolution was driven the same way. And to make sure that, you know, it doesn't seem like they're that oppressive, that they, you know, everybody still gets the, you know, their vacation and their little stipends of things that make them happy, that placate us, to allow them to do the things that they're doing. I'm here to tell you, by abandoning the commodity credit corporation, what the states need to do is they need to create their own. They need to create their own silage and their own food storage type of program, just in case there is a real downturn in the economy, just in case there is something that where the majority, and it shouldn't be triggered when 10% of the people, you know, or something like that, because there are shifts in the market, but it needs to be a significant shift to where people need that food and that assistance. And the states should be the providers, not the national government. The national government or the federal government, the general government, they have no power. They have no authority to be involved in providing for, you know, the day-to-day needs of the domestic needs of the United States. Their focus is strictly external in protecting us and keeping foreign people from coming in and trying to buy us up and taking control. Corporations in buying us up and taking control. So I just want you to understand that these are just two issues, and we're going to move on to some more. We want to see the state start incentivizing family farming and getting corporation farming out. We actually want to start seeing it becoming a standard that it's family and, you know, whole, natural, whatever you want to call it, non-GMO type of foods and so forth. And what we also have to see is that the incentivizing has to reduce the type of taxation on a family farmland for basically making it so that families can actually have a better shot at being successful. Corporations that come in and spend millions and millions of dollars on the hardware and the chemicals and everything else so that they can harvest crap, well, we've got to make it more costly for them, because their product is an inferior product. So when we come back, we'll talk more about property rights and the importance that states have to put their foot down on property rights. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so moving more into, let's paint in some more imagery, give you some more pictures and understanding, because the more we start looking at property rights and the importance that the people have property and their own property, but having property taxes might be okay if the state actually doesn't have a hostile action towards people owning property and they can't afford to pay it. And so there should never be a point in time to where a person actually becomes a slave to the state because the state considers that property the state's property. Technically, it is the state's property to protect your property. In other words, they're the sovereigns that are supposed to be serving you. You're not supposed to be serving it. And so there has to be some the paradigm shifts here. And a part of this is we're already talking about incentivizing family farming, reducing those taxes of the foods as they produce it, whatever that tax is, so that their tax is much less, much lower. And as a matter of fact, that the states need to start ensuring that anything that's produced off of a corporate farming land, or I should say corporations, it is actually growing the food and selling it. There has to be a label to basically identify that how that was all done. In other words, is there GMOs, insecticides, all of that type of stuff. Informing the consumer is critical. And so I think that that needs to be done for both the family farming, because I think you'll find more family farming will be more organic and more natural, less GMO, and you will find the corporations will be forced to go down that same path when all of a sudden they have, because if they disclose that they're actually creating an inferior product just to be able to mass produce an inferior product, then I think the tax rate on that product has to go up. In other words, even though the value of it goes down for mass consumption, the perception should be that it is a less desirable, and this incentivizes corporations to start moving towards natural foods, natural processes, and so forth. They may have to spend a little bit more money, just like the family farmer. In other words, they may not have the same efficiencies that they would like, But whatever is best for the consumer is, I think, the state's responsibility in ensuring that at least the products, food products that people are consuming, because there's probably, there's nothing more essential and more important than energy. Energy for your home and energy for your body. Food is energy for your body. And the states should be protectors of and insurers to make sure that you have access to good quality energy. That means food. Anyway, and I'm not talking about, you know, five-star restaurants or anything like that. What I am talking about is their involvement in ensuring that what comes out of the ground, what is going into the butcher shops, is quality, and putting quality first and foremost. I know that, you know, one of the things I learned, my mechanic used to have a sign on his on the back wall. He says, you can pick any of the three. You can have it quickly, you can have it at low cost, and you can have quality to the work you get, but you can't have all three. So if you want quality and quick, then the one thing that is going to, you know, be, you know, compromise is the cost. It's not going to be cheap. If you want it, you know, quality and you want it quickly, then it, or so it won't be cheap. So back and forth, if you go through the little scenarios, if you want it fast and you want, but you're willing to spare quality, then you're not going to have a good quality car repair. The point is if you start looking at it, when you pick one out, when you pick the other one out, in other words, if you go in and you want quality and you don't care about the time, then, you know, it could actually save you some money, because then he can get around to it and work and dilly-dally on it, and it could possibly save you money because it's something he works on part-time, but it may take a month. You won't get it quickly. The whole point is it's the same thing when we're looking at what we're doing with farming, and when we're looking at doing, you know, the production of, you know, cattle, livestock, and so forth. We actually have to start creating a list of crops and livestock that come with incentives. In other words, these items must be of such that are important for the livelihood, such as dairy cows, such as eggs, and the ability for chicken ranchers to, or, you know, people have chickens. Now, here's the thing. When you live in certain states, there are certain things that you just won't be able to get certain food products because it's just not conducive to grow certain products there. A good case in point is I would not think that in Minnesota you'd be able to get your fair share of citrus fruits, right? And so you have to start looking at what you can grow and then cooperating. And this is where the states need to be able to learn and actually cooperate without the federal government being the mercantile system. It's one thing when the states actually kind of cooperate into their own mercantile system, but it's another thing for the federal government to do that, because look at what they're doing with our mercantile system now. The majority of the food that we're consuming is coming from offshore. They have shut down and have stifled our own production deliberately to make us dependent on other nations to feed us, because when all of a sudden we can't eat and there's no food available, then there will be another French Revolution, and that's what they're banking on to be the next, you know, I would say, flip of America, to actually force us to go down a path. They're trying to create scenarios, friends, where it actually would bode for to help the Bolshevik Revolution succeed, because these people that are in our government are communists and they understand what they have to do and how they have to do it. Any agricultural land that is owned by a non-resident of that state, a corporation, entity, it doesn't matter, and they're not residing on that land and they're not using the land for production, or actually they're taking subsidies for not being productive from the federal government. And actually, if you look at that right now, then the states can actually start going after them now. But the fact is, those subsidies are unconstitutional. They need to dry up. However, that doesn't mean that there won't be non-productive land, because Bill Gates and many of the globalists are buying up your farmland. And they're making it so that you will not be able to, you know, get food off of that land. They're basically abandoning this land. So any state where that happens, then the state actually needs to go into whoever the owner is and fully tax them at a higher rate for not being productive. In other words, the state needs to actually be very aggressive in going, because what's happening is Bill Gates and the globalists and corporations that are taking up land and making it non-productive. What do you call that? That's actually hostile activities, economic hostility towards the state and the people of that state, by taking the resources and not utilizing it to actually help contribute to the overall health and the overall economy of the estate. You understand how important the land is to the state. I'm hoping, because this is the agrarian, and this is a fundamental model that doesn't matter how far in advance we go, where people are willing to buy food that completely is grown in petri dishes, this fake meat and everything else. I am here to tell you that it is the state's responsibility to ensure that we have good, wholesome, quality food, that their land is being used for that. And if they were doing that, then they wouldn't be blindsided by all of this, you know, shutdown of production. Now, as we move forward, each subsequent year that the land is not being utilized, the taxes will increase for 5 years, after which the state will conduct leasing of these properties for production purposes. In other words, let's say for 5 years, Bill Gates owns this, and the taxes keep on going up 5 years, and they continue to pay it. Then what will happen is the state will then actually start leasing that land for anybody, for a family farm, to be able to go in and actually start operating and go to the full production year for, you know, 1 year at a time, 2-3 years or what have you. So that if there's a family farm next to this property and they say, you know what, I'd like to actually farm on that. I'd like to actually, you know, grow our corn or whatever on that land. Then the state will allow them by leasing it to them, and they'll still be taxing these companies at a high rate. Bottom line, we have to be equally combative, if not more aggressive, than this passive-aggressive economic warfare that these globalists are actually conducting at the state level. Hopefully this makes sense. But this is where state sovereignty has to trump, you know, those who are operating within the state with hostile economic intent. Now, I have a surprise for you. In our next episode, we're actually going to have Keith Broders. We're going to be talking about the Electoral College, and then we'll get back, because we've got a lot more to go through in what we have to cover for aligning our government with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights for the 21st century. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.